Welcome back to my love letter time machine. Hi, I'm Ingrid Birchall Hughes, and I'm serialising the love letters of my great-great-grandparents, Fred Shepherd and Janie Warburton. Travel 140 years back in time with me now, where we take a look at Victorian history through their eyes. And today, we'll discover Janie is in the thick of the preparations in the run-up to her brother's wedding, and our Fred does his best to smooth things over for last week's bust-up. After Janie's understandable outrage at Fred painting her in such a bad light over her walk that Sunday night, he backtracks, although I think he's kind of splitting hairs in order to do it. It also looks as if she has included a price list for all their household purchases, although this has not survived with the letter. The North Eastern Steel Company Limited, Royal Exchange, Middlesbrough, June the 9th, 1882. My own darling wife, I received your letter this morning for which I thank you. I am sorry, darling, that I pained you by the contents of my last letter, as I did not mean to do that. But you know how strongly I feel upon the matter, and how very sensitive I am as well upon anything like that. I think, though, wifey, that you took me to mean more than I really did. I did not say, as far as I can recollect, that you had the same object in view as Fanny Makin. What I said, I think, was that you surely could not have the same object in view. However, my darling, I did not mean to vex you or hurt you either, so please forgive me this once. You say that you would like to shake me for saying that I was your long-suffering lover. Am I not your lover, darling? And am I also not long-suffering? Of course, if it would give you any pleasure or be any practical use to shake me, I would be willingly shaken, but so far I cannot see it, so beg respectfully to decline the offer. Your further explanation, love, puts quite a different light upon the affair, which I must confess I did not understand before. I do know that you really love me, darling, but for all that, I am pleased that you agree with me, that you are mine absolutely, as that is really the way in which I look at it. I have never seen you nasty, love, and should be deeply grieved to see you that way now. It would certainly be new, but not pleasant, and might provoke other symptoms of a similar kind. How should you be, love, if you were nasty? Would it be a vigorous furiousness, or a repetition of the old form of reticence? I am pleased that you took the opportunity of getting information on Wednesday respecting the furniture. I am much obliged to you, love, for the prices. I have not had time to compare your estimate with the one I drew out, but will do so and let you have the result on Sunday. I don't think it would be wise, darling, to run as near £30 as you have done, because there would be the cost of the carriage to add on. Besides, I find you have made a mistake in your addition, which should be £30, 3 and 6, instead of £29, 3 and 6, as you had it. I quite see what you mean, wifey. Now, you mean, that you prefer not to come before we are married, but to come up with me after our marriage, for the first time. I am thinking how awfully inconvenient it will be for you, darling, but if you don't mind, I have no doubt that even the inconvenience will be pleasurable, as we shall be together. I wish it was Darnall Feast, love, and then we should be together again. You still think, I suppose, that I'd better come over then, love, don't you? Don't you think that the toilet tables that your Fred has bought rather expensive, love? I'm afraid we shall not be able to afford £7.10 for them. Mr. Cooper has gone to Sheffield, Bradford, Preston and Barrow, and next week we have another board meeting, which will mean another Sunday's work for me. I would not care if I had you to cheer me up, my darling, but I shall have soon, love, so I won't get glum. Awaiting yours on Sunday, I remain, my darling wife, your loving, true, faithful and long-suffering husband, Fred. Handsworth, June the 9th, 1882. My own darling husband, I have just returned from Darnall. I promised your mother I would go last night to see them, but had put off going until tonight. I did not know the furniture would come yesterday. I went down with Mr. Allen in his trap. He was going to the station with the letters and asked me to ride, so I did. So I got there a little sooner than I expected. It was 8:20 when I started. I thought if I did not go tonight, I very likely should have no other opportunity before the wedding, and they might think I was neglecting them. They told me I was quite a stranger. Your mother is not very well, but the rest are all quite well. John is working, so I did not see him. Louisa brought me to the church to meet Polly Corbett. I met her, so we walked up together. I got here at 10:00. Continued, Saturday, June the 10th, 1882. My darling, I received your welcome letter this morning, for which I thank you, but I will finish answering the other one first, love. Oh, love, you have not said how you are getting on in your new lodgings, and how you managed to board yourself. I mean whether it is any cheaper. I shall not be disappointed if you are not successful at the sports, love. I think you will have done very well indeed if you have to give up now. Perhaps it would be best not to run at all this time, as I should not like your fame as a runner to diminish if you lose. You have not our celebrated Sherry to train on. I wish you were here, love. You soon should have no doubts it will make a great difference to your speed. Tom Wortley and Miss Mills called the other day. You said Annie, his sister, wanted to see me about going to Middlesbrough. There is an excursion for 3 days, either this month or the next. She thinks of going just to see the place. What do you think? Could you put up with me anywhere for that time? It would be a night at Mr. Davies and one at Mr. Marston's. The obligation would not be so great then, and I should just be able to see my future dwelling place before I come to it. Polly Warburton wants me to go there tomorrow to deck her off a little bit. I don't know how we shall distinguish between the two Pollys. They neither of them like Mary. We shall have to say our Fred's Polly and our William's Polly. I shall be wishing it is our wedding. I wish you could be here, darling. It would be so enjoyable then. Ginny Reckless has sent word to say that she can't come. I do feel sorry. I know she will be so disappointed. It is the day before they break up, and she has to set most of the children off home. Please excuse the paper, love. It is all I have until I have been to Mrs. Allen's. I do love you more than ever, my own darling husband. I will always remain your loving, true and faithful wife, Janie. Albert Terrace, Linthorpe Road, Middlesbrough, Saturday, June the 10th, 1882. My own darling wife, I have just a few minutes to spare before going to bed, so I thought I would commence my usual Sunday letter, love, for I know you like a good long one for Monday. Oh, my darling, I do miss you on Saturdays, in the evening especially. We used to have such happy Saturday nights, darling, didn't we? It was so nice to be with you when the bother and worry of the week was over, and here is more worry and bother on Saturdays than any other day, without the solace of seeing you, which is hard, love. I had not finished work until 4:00 this afternoon, and then after dinner went into the park for a little while. There was some cricketing going on, but we were not asked to play, as hospitality, even in cricket, is not a very strong failing at Middlesbrough. However, eventually, we succeeded in persuading one club to let us join, and Tom and I considerably astonished them by bowling and batting feats. We did not have tea until 8:00, and after that Tom went out first, and I followed some time afterwards, but did not see him. I walked about by myself, and even yet I have not got over the feeling of loneliness seeing so many people, and yet not one you know. I did so long for a sight of your sweet face, my own darling. I wish it was October, and then I should see you every day, wifey. There is no one here, my darling, that approaches anywhere near you, in my humble estimation. I wish it was morning, my darling, and then I should get another letter from you, but that means another Sunday to pass without you, which is not very exquisite. I love you, my darling wifey, more than ever. Continues, June the 11th, 1882. My darling, I received your kind and loving letter this morning. I am glad that you went to see them at home, darling. I like to think you go to see them as often as you can during my absence. We are very comfortable at our new lodgings, love, more so than we were at the other, and so far it has been much cheaper. The first week, it only cost us 14 shillings and 9 pence. The second week, 12 shillings and 3 pence. But that was the week I was away. This week, I think, will be 16 shillings. At the old place, it was about 16 shillings and 6 pence every week, including washing, and the above figures include everything. We made up our minds when we first came that we would make 16 shillings per week cover everything, and so far, we have managed very well. I wish we had been here all the winter. It would have been more economical and more enjoyable. Of course, it is not why I expect our home to be my wife. That will be happiness. I am pleased that you will not be disappointed if I do not win anything at the sports, love. If I do not get an opportunity of running here, I don't think I should run at Darnell. But we shall see. With regard to the trip for 3 days to this place, I expect it will be for the boat race between Boyd and Laycock, which comes off on July 3rd. If you come, I have no doubt I could put you up somewhere for the 2 nights. But how will Annie go on? If Annie does not come with you, I don't think I should like you to come, love, as there is sure to be all the rough element in Sheffield come to see the race, and it would probably be a very unpleasant journey for you. Of course, if your John came with you, I should not mind, but I think you would not care to come alone. If you came then, love, I don't think I should come over to Darnell Feast, as that would be the week after. It would be glorious if you could come, as I expect it would be Saturday, and we could go down to Redcar on the Saturday afternoon, or Sunday. I think I should have to get a day off on the Monday, but it is certain there will be all the betting men in Sheffield come. We will settle about the piano, love, when you get it. I thought we had decided not to have a wardrobe, love, at first, as we shall have a set of drawers from our house, you know. I include a comparison between your last estimate and the one I showed you, and you must tell me what you think about it. I see you have put 2 bedroom chairs in besides the 2 included in the suite. Will these be necessary? We will be very careful when we are married, darling, and then I have no doubt we shall get everything in good time, love. I should think the tin kettle will be very useful, love, in the emergency you mention. I am pleased that you think about these little things, darling, for that will prevent you from any inconvenience, perhaps, afterwards. I think your Emma was doing a very foolish thing in reading such trash to the children, because it is not advisable to give them a bad pronunciation, especially when they are young. I am pleased that you will put the cost of everything down, love. It will be useful information when we get done furnishing. I am rather surprised at your Fred going in for a drawing room suite, love. I did not think it was much in his line. We will have a nice one afterwards, darling, and it will satisfy your dear little self. I am glad that you forgive me, darling. I will give you such a sweet, loving kiss for it when I see you, my own wife, which will not be long now. The forthcoming boat race between Boyd and Laycock seems to have been something of a huge deal. Middlesbrough man Robert Watson Boyd, who you might remember from a previous podcast, was the English sculling champion, and Elias C. Laycock was a professional sculler from Sydney, Australia. The number of articles in the national papers speculating on both Laycock and Boyd's training regimen and boat adjustments in the run-up to the race suggests that this was one of the major sporting events of that summer. The amount of detail in the articles is fascinating. For example, here's this one from The Sporting Life. The headline reads, "The Boyd and Laycock match. Laycock, we regret to say, has found it impossible to repair his clasper boat, the Sharksland, which was damaged while he was practicing in her on Tuesday. It was thought that the portion of the keel which had burst might have been sufficiently repaired to enable him to row in the match, but this, on a second examination, was found impossible. Laycock therefore went to Newcastle yesterday in order to look out another suitable boat, and during his absence, Mr. A. Delone of Middlesbrough, the winner of the Wingfield Sculls a few years ago, offered the loan of a fine skiff in his possession to Henry Kelly for the Australian. Last evening, Laycock had a spell of rowing exercise on the river along his fellow countryman, Pierce, who is working hard to reduce himself for his race with Largan. Boyd has somewhat recovered from the cold he caught through his accident on the river on Monday, and was twice at exercise on the water today, rowing in his Phelps and Peters boat. Handsworth, June 12, 1882. My own darling husband, I received your nice loving letter this morning, for which I thank you. They're always such a treat. I do like quite a long one for Monday. I miss you quite as much as you do me on Saturday nights, my darling. We did have such happy Saturdays and Sundays. It is hard, love, to have to do without each other now, but it is for us to be happy together always. You were late home on Saturday, love. You would be almost past your dinner. I wish I could have gone in the park with you for a little while, darling. It would have been enjoyable. I think they will ask you to play cricket next time you go into the park, as you astonished them considerably by bowling and batting feats. Oh, darling, I do wish I could have relieved your loneliness on Saturday evening. I was wishing for you here when I came back from the post. I thought I would give anything for one of our old walks. I wish you could have had the sight of my old face. You will see it every day soon now, love. And then won't you be tired of it? These dreary Sundays without each other, are they not, love? But they will soon be happier. I went to school in the morning and to church. Lizzie Rowe came in the afternoon and stopped about an hour. I waited for Kate up to 9 o'clock. Annie Wortley and Clara Denton came up about 8. George has not been so well again. Then Polly Rowe came in about 8:30. Polly and I went down with them as far as the bridge. I have done your tie, love. I turned it in and lined it. It does not look quite such a nice shape as I wanted it, but it was rather awkward to do. I hope it will suit you, darling. I am glad you are so comfortable in your new lodgings and that you find it cheaper. You can stay at one place too long, it seems, love. I think you are doing very well, darling, to make 16 shillings cover all. We will try to make ours a happy home. About the excursion to Middlesbrough, love, Mr. Glover has some friends to take Annie to. I should not like to come by myself, love, if, as you say, all the rough element in Sheffield will come. I should not mind at all if Annie is with me. It would be glorious if I can come. You would certainly have to get the Monday off. Kate is going to leave on Darnall Feast Monday. She will give Mother notice on Monday so that I should be able to manage it before she left. She had a row over something with Mother. If I do come, love, it would perhaps be better not to come at Darnall Feast. Then you could come just before our feast, on the week after. Our Fred rather fancied the hare-seated sweets, but Polly does not like them. So he gave in to her and said she was to have just what she liked. Our Fred has more pride in a house nicer than our John has. You wouldn't think it, love, would you? I'm quite satisfied to be without a drawing suite, love, for a time. I will answer you about the house, darling, in my next. I haven't time now. I have been making 2 ruffles for the wedding, and I have made 2 bonnets. I think I am a general utility in these affairs. I have to have the honour of dressing the bride. I'll give you one for Thursday, and you give me a short one for that morning, will you, love? The Royal Exchange, Middlesbrough, the North Eastern Steel Company Limited, June 13th, 1882. My own darling wife, I received your letter this morning and thank you very much for answering by return. I am glad you were satisfied with mine on Monday, love. It is as much a pleasure for me to write as it is for you to receive them. I wish you could have gone with me into the park, darling, and also on Sunday. On Sunday it looked lovely. I am sure you would like it, my little wife. I thought you would feel my absence on Saturday nights, love, as I do. You say I shall get tired of seeing your dear sweet face. Never mind, darling. How could I? Provided you keep it sweet, etc. I am sorry to hear that George Denton is not so well. I thought he was better. I received the tie, love, and thank you very much for repairing it. I have had it 4 years now, and if I have it another 4 years, I think it will not have done badly. I like it very much, darling. About the excursion to Middlesbrough, love, you did not say when it is to be. I think I was wrong in my last letter. I thought it would be on account of the boat race, but I understand that it is a works trip and comes off next Saturday. I shall get more information tomorrow and will let you know. How would it suit you if it is on Saturday? I'm dying to see you again. Alvy says that Miss Smith would go and is writing her tonight to tell her so that if she went, you would have additional company. Could you call on her tomorrow, love? She is at Cockayne's mantle department. Inquire at Watson's Walk. I thought Annie would go to Glover's friends, but I don't think he would care to go there. Get to know certain when it is, love, and then we can settle the matter at once. Didn't Annie tell you when it was? I am sorry that Kate is leaving you, as you may not get another as good as her, but you'll not be troubled with anybody long, my darling, now. What was the row about? I always like to know, being inquisitive. You are evidently going to be a big gun at this wedding, love, almost as big as you will be at your own. Of course, I shall be nowhere then, my darling. You will be rather mixed up at first with the two Pollys, but will no doubt settle it amicably. I wish I could be there, love. It would be a fine experience, in one never having been married before, love, you know. I am sorry Ginny can't get there, love, as she had looked forward to it so much. I will gladly excuse the various small sheets of paper, my darling. It is a letter from you, and as such, perfect. I hope you will be able to come by the trip, love, no matter when it is. I told my landlady, Mrs. Snaith, that I expected my wife would be coming over to see me, and she wishes to see you very much. She is firmly convinced that I am a married man, darling, as I told her I was going home to see my wife at Whitsuntide, and she asked Alfie if it was right that I was married. He, of course, said I was, and that settled her. I expect my manner has assisted in the delusion, being so very quiet and sedate, you know, love. She was asking me last night if we have any children. I said, no, we hadn't, but we were expecting one soon. Is that so, my darling wife? I received a newspaper from Nottingham the other day, but have not the least idea who it was from. I enclose the wrapper. Can you tell me if you know the writing, love? I don't like anything mysterious like that. I shall await yours of Thursday, my darling, and remain my loving little wife, your loving, true, and faithful husband, Fred. What the heck, Fred? Why would you let your landlady, Mrs. Snaith, think that not only you were married, but that baby was on the way? I don't get this at all. Unless, of course, it was awkward to go back on what Alfie had already said. I mean, there's a part of me wondering if there's some pact between Alfie and Fred, that perhaps they are toying with the idea that if they can pass themselves off as married, they might be able to have their fiancé stay under the same roof at some point without scandal. I'm not sure. Or it could be just a status thing. It is a puzzle. Unfortunately for us, we don't get to find out what Janie thought of this, as in the next podcast, her letters are almost completely taken over by the intricacies of trying to arrange a possible trip to Middlesbrough and the full-on stress and drama of her brother Fred's wedding. And when I say drama, oh boy, do I mean it. I cannot wait to share that episode with you next time. Thank you so much for listening to my love letter time machine. I'd very much like to share Fred and Janie's story with more people. So if you haven't already, can I ask you to share this podcast with someone you think might enjoy it? You can also find excerpts of Fred and Janie's letters on Instagram at my love letter time machine, all one word. And you can write to me at myloveletterTimeMachine@gmail.com. Until next time, take care.